This is KERA News. I'm BJ Austin. Donald Trump's fans and foes are streaming into the Cedars neighborhood just south of downtown Dallas right now. The fans are heading into Gilly's nightclub, where Trump's scheduled to speak in a little more than half an hour. The foes are arriving by bus for a protest in the nearby streets. Violence has marred other Trump rallies in the last few months, but no word of any problems in Dallas. We have reporters on the street and inside the ballroom. That's where we'll start with KERA's Christopher Conley. Chris, what do things look like inside?
The place is filling up. It's getting pretty packed. There's still a little bit of floor space here, but still the same thing. Mostly people just waiting. The podium's been empty the whole time. Nobody's stood up to speak yet, but people are here. The music is playing. It's been pretty much all classic rock, a lot of Elton John. I'm pretty sure I heard Tiny Dancer twice. And then one Pavarotti song for a little bit of, I guess, opera to get the crowd going.
Well, you've been talking to people in the crowd. What are they telling you?
People are pretty revved up for Trump, pretty expectedly. People are expressing a lot of anger for the political establishment. They say that people are sick of being lied to. They say the establishment doesn't work. They say Republicans and Democrats in charge are all the same. There's a lot of anger about Hillary Clinton, perhaps expectedly as well. A lot of Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirts. And a lot of people are telling me, you know, listen, I don't know exactly what Donald Trump is going to do. They're not sort of listing policy goals or anything like that. They're mostly just interested in having him be the person in charge. They say he's got a creative brain, he's a good thinker, he's a businessman, so they trust that he'll make the right decisions when he needs to. And the other thing I've heard from a lot of people is that, you know, he's imperfect. He might stumble, he might make some mistakes here and there, but ultimately they think he'll make the right decisions and, you know, as they say, make the country great again.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the update.
Sure thing.
Gus Contreras is on Lamar Street in the Cedars. Gus, what's it look like outside Gilly's?
I'm seeing lots of American flags. There are certainly more people arriving in the Gilly's area on Lamar. Starting to see a good amount of people that are a mix of young and old Trump supporters walking towards the entrance.
Well, what's the crowd size like now?
There's definitely hundreds of people in the vicinity. Police are making sure that people with tickets get in there. Proper area in line, and those without tickets to stay in certain areas.
What about the protesters? Are they gathering?
More protesters are starting to arrive. I've seen a lot of them wearing white t-shirts with American flags, like organizers had asked for.
And what about the police presence? Is it intensifying?
There's definitely a big police presence here near Gilly's. Lots of police officers on bicycles patrolling the area. Earlier, I saw about 10 officers on horseback, and then about a handful in shield guards, the kind you see in riot gear, but there hasn't been any hint of violence yet.
Well, what are the people outside talking about?
I've spoken with a few people who feel like Trump's business background can turn the country around, and I've also seen a group of men supporting open carry with their guns in holsters, saying they like his stance on their constitutional rights.
That's Gus Contreras outside the Donald Trump rally in downtown Dallas. Trump's chief spokeswoman has deep roots here in North Texas. Her name is Katrina Pearson, and she grew up in Garland. A stint on Ted Cruz's 2012 campaign and a failed run for Congress 2 years later raised her profile nationally. She sat down with KERA's Rick Holter shortly before this evening's Trump rally.
Katrina Pearson, thanks for making some time for us.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Donald Trump, of course, powered through the primaries, but he's had a rough couple of weeks. His response to Orlando and incendiary comments before that made several Republican senators turn on him. Yesterday, Trump basically told them to clam up or, quote, let me just do it by myself. Is that where this is headed, just doing it by himself?
Well, I think Mr. Trump has always felt that he has been doing it by himself. He has stated several times he would like to have everyone's support, but understands that that may not be the case. And when we look at where Mr. Trump started a year ago today, they were all against him, the entire establishment, the entire party for that matter. And he went it alone, and he had the people, and he won.
Today, a federal judge threw out a lawsuit from this state's attorney general to keep Syrian refugees out of Texas. Isn't that a sign that Trump's plan to stop Muslim immigration won't stand up in the courts?
No, not at all. I don't think that at all. I didn't see the premise of that particular case. we do have a serious problem here, considering that the intelligence agency has already said we don't have a way to track these individuals, we don't have a way to vet these individuals, and in many cases, some who've already been brought here have disappeared into society. Once we have the national debate on the strengths and weaknesses and the dangers involved, I do think that more and more people will understand.
But federal judges have said no. That has to send a message that this idea of banning Muslim immigration, whether it's for a short time or a long time, is just not going to stand up judicially.
Well, I think that's why you have the discussion in Congress. This is something that the People's House is going to have to decide, really. I mean, national security is the responsibility of the federal government, and the state governments are doing what they can do, which is to voice their opposition and to fight it as they can until we do get the federal government to do what they're supposed to be doing.
Let's turn to another place where immigration is obviously a huge issue, Europe. Next week, Britain votes on whether to leave the European Union. It's known as Brexit. Trump has said Britain should leave. What's his plan for dealing with the economic fallout if that happens?
This is another example of what horrible trade deals look like. I mean, Europe is struggling now because sub-Sahara Africa has decided that they wanted to start creating things in their own countries and bringing jobs back to their own countries. It's just creating an instability for Europe.
So Africa's the reason the EU might break up?
No, I'm saying it's a huge contributor. If we look at some of the trade that's happening, they're completely imbalanced over there. But all that is contributing to the bigger problem, which is exactly what we have here. We don't make anything anymore. Our wages are stagnant. We're not creating jobs like we should. And we're hemorrhaging money.
But if Brexit happens, there will be serious economic fallout. What would Mr. Trump do about that?
Well, when it happens, I think, would determine if it happens on his watch or before. The question really is, what is Hillary Clinton's plan, considering how
No, the question is, what is Donald Trump's
it's both.
Plan?
It's both. Because what is Hillary Clinton's plan, considering how she wants to continue these exact same policies?
The protesters who are coming into downtown Dallas today have been told repeatedly to stay peaceful. Is the candidate doing anything to make sure his supporters don't get violent?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Trump has denounced many times the violence at the rallies. But this really isn't a Trump supporter issue. Trump supporters aren't flying Mexican flags and throwing rocks at police and sneaking up on people and busting them in their faces and heads and making them bleed and sending people to the hospital. This is the United States of America still. We still have the right to support a political candidate without fear of being attacked by others.
Katrina Pearson, thanks for taking the time.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Today on Think, the topic was not Donald Trump. It was self-driving cars. General Motors, Google, Tesla, and others are all in the race to produce them. Just last month, Nissan announced its driverless car will roll out in 2020. On Think, guest host Lauren Silverman spoke with UC Berkeley research engineer Stephen Schlottever about the piece of the puzzle that stands between us and a self-driving future, software.
If you think about the driving environment and the types of situations that you have to deal with, there are static objects around the roadway, just the roadway infrastructure itself, the curbs, the markings, the signs. But then there are all the dynamic things, the things that are moving in that environment, all the other vehicles, the pedestrians, the bicyclists, the animals. And those other objects move in unpredictable ways. And now your driving software system has to be able to keep track of all of those things and continuously decide what to do to respond to those things. All of us who've worked on development of vehicles that do automation have encountered oddball situations along the way where the system failed.
Think re-airs tonight at 9, and you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. Another heat advisory tomorrow with a high of about 98. The heat index could be 109. 95 in Dallas, now 97 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News. I'm BJ Austin.